My name is Chris Gregory. I am the CEO at Isle of Play. Well, firstly, the funding started around September, and it's just coming out into public eye now, which is great, though, because it gives us a chance to sort of talk about how that funding is actually being used rather than talking, you know, this is how it's going to be used in a future tense. So the project is called Playpaths. And over the last few years, we've been had increasing numbers of children being referred to us for one-to-one support. So these are children who are struggling with their home lives, struggling in school, and don't necessarily qualify under the CAMHS banner. And the CAMHS waiting list, which itself is exponentially huge. So these kids have come to us, and we're working with them on a one-to-one basis or on a small group basis, and we're using the medium of play as the tool to you know, help these kids come forward.
These are kids coming from, you've said, deprived of play and positive early childhood experiences. So it sounds like, are you getting more and more of these referrals? Or?
Well, yeah, I think there's a growing trend within our society where children are playing, as we would define play, less and less. So all those sort of, I think it's quite an interesting experiment when we talk to children today, and or we work with children, we see kind of what their play experiences are, and then when we compare those to their parents, how they've changed significantly, and the rise of technology and handheld devices is obviously a massive part of that, but there's other factors sort of within sort of the traditional household and the detachment, I think, between the relationships between adults and children and how that's grown as well. Yeah, so we're seeing a lot of children who are suffering from early play deprivation. I can talk about that for quite a while, in fairness, as well, and where that starts. And there's a lot of parents who are potentially guilty of that. And we're all guilty of being sucked in by the traps of our current society.
So is it trying to get more kids back doing that, being outside and just back in nature?
Well, it's interesting, sort of. I mean, you know, so often this ideal of children playing out in these wooded areas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we often forget that, you know, children are a product of nature as much as, you know, the idea of nature just being these lovely treed environments. So children can play anywhere, and a lot of the time, sort of, my own childhood was spent playing on the street a lot of the time, and that's something that we don't see so much of. You know, even within my own estate, which is a relatively newish housing estate with very quiet roads, and there's very few children playing on the streets there. So yeah, there are a lot of children who are addicted and are spoon-fed sort of a diet of, if it's not education based, then, you know, what's the point of doing it? So it's either education, you're in sport, and in that free time, a lot of the time children are subscribed to just looking and playing on their computers and such, because it's an easy way of us sort of knowing they're safe, and we forget that sort of our job as parents or as carers isn't to keep our children safe. Our job is to make our children competent, and that's the deficit that we're seeing, is that children are lacking the skills to navigate the world they're growing up in. And that's why we're seeing more and more increasing problems with teenagers, with adults, and mental health decline as well. And play is the foremost tool that we can equip our children with to navigate the world about them.
Do you think the Isle of Man's like a sort of interesting place then for this? Because the Isle of Man's so fundamentally safe anyway. Yeah. We get told it all the time. So actually, we should be letting kids go out more and just sort of make mistakes and do all these different things.
Yeah. It's bonkers, as far as I'm concerned. Absolutely bonkers. We've got this beautiful island with the potential for play on every corner. You know, we're never more than a 5-minute walk from a green space or from the sea or from a reservoir. It's this phenomenal place. And yet you see so few children at those places, unless they're supervised by an adult. And there's very little reason for it. And we often get accused from certain people who will say, oh, as if you're teaching children how to play. And they're right, it's bonkers. We don't teach children how to play. We can't teach children how to play. You can't get rid of, like, you know, a million years of evolutionary spirit out of a child. That's always going to be there. But the fact is that they're missing out on those very early opportunities to play, to develop the social skills they need to become socially competent, and to learn how to manage the risk about them. And so then when they are teenagers, then you are seeing some sort of more disruptive behaviours that perhaps we don't want to see. Well, a lot of that starts early doors.
What's that sort of early intervention then when you get them in? Are they being referred to you because of behavioural things, or is it parents? Is it self-referral? How do you get these referrals in?
Well, we get them through schools, through parents, through social workers. They come at us from all angles, to be honest. And they'll say, what's your referral form? And we go, well, we have a referral form, but let's have a conversation. Let's find out what's going on here. Let's see what we can do. And then once we've, it's so hard because we've never come across a child that we would say we would never work with. We've not met one child yet who is that child. But the problem for us is now we're so many children coming through our doors, through our other projects and through play paths, that it's incredibly hard for us to actually find the time and the resources and the staff and the funding, which is great why the lottery have helped us with this, to be able to commit to working with all these children. So we're exactly the same position as other organisations and the same as CAMHS. But interesting, when sort of what does it look like, that provision where those children come through our doors, what does it look like? Well, it can be anything because it's children's play. And the great thing about us and our staff and the way that we work is it's driven by the child. And so what very few people have the patience and spontaneity and creativity for, that's kind of where we thrive. And so it's driven by the child. And so when asked what our roles are, what we look like, are we youth workers? No, we're not youth workers. But are we, are we counsellors to these children? Yeah, to that one child, we may be a counsellor. To another child, we might be a surrogate parent or a brother or a teacher or a builder or a play friend or a princess or whatever that child needs us to be in that moment. That is where our skills really thrive. And that's why I think we have so much success through this project. And we are seeing some interesting, just before I came here, we'd just been at Leicester's Yard, and being the holidays, we're inundated by hundreds of children. We had about 100 children at Leicester's Yard just, and one of the dads came in who with one of the children we work with, and he said, I've seen such a difference in him. Genuinely sort of matured. He's regulating his behaviour more. I think it would be remiss of me to say that's completely down to us. There's other factors involved in that, including he's getting a little bit older. Maturity comes and the hormones and conditions of the child's life change as well. But the fact that he can come to us and be that child, and sometimes, a 14-year-old wants to play like a 5-year-old or a 3-year-old, and in schools and other places, it's not appropriate for those children to do that. But with us, they can be however they want to be.
So, like you touched on there, you've been inundated with kids this past week as well. So have you seen lots of people coming out to like Leicester's Yard and coming to do all the different activities over half term as well?
Oh, yeah, crazy. Crazy busy. And it's often weather dependent to sort of how many children we get. So we were up in Jerby last Wednesday, and it was that day when it was freezing cold and the rain just whipping out as if it was hailstone. No one turned out at all. So, okay, well, we'll hang up our boots for today. But then we were there back in Jerby yesterday, and, there were 50, 60 children there then as well. But, yeah, we're working on average, I'd say, about 1,000 children a week. So, yeah, we're pretty busy.
This money then, you said you've already had it for a few months. It's just going towards funding these projects that, you're already building up.
It's actually going specifically towards the Play Paths project, the one-to-one work and the small group work, the targeted stuff that we're doing. It's just phenomenal that I don't feel that if we were anywhere else other than on the Isle of Man that we'd probably be as successful as we are and have the trust shown in us that the lottery have shown in us and have shown at us previously as well. So, I can't thank those guys enough, but, the work continues and, we wouldn't be able to do it without their support.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Little Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.